During each shift, I was given 3 5-minute restroom breaks. Lunch was 30 minutes. I usually ate in my cubicle instead of the cafeteria, so I wouldn't have to listen to the other tech reps bitch about their calls or boast about how many perk points they'd earned. I'd grown to despise the other indents almost as much as the customers. I fell asleep 5 separate times during my shift. Each time, when the system saw that I'd drifted off, it sounded a warning klaxon in my ears, jolting me back awake. Then it noted the infraction in my employee data file. My narcolepsy had become such a consistent problem during my first week that I was now being issued 2 little red pills each day to help me stay awake. I took them too, but not until after I got off work. When my shift finally ended, I ripped off my headset and visor and walked back to my HAB unit as quickly as I could. This was the only time each day I ever hurried anywhere. When I reached my tiny plastic coffin, I crawled inside and collapsed on the mattress, face down, in the same exact position as the night before, and the night before that. I lay there for a few minutes, staring at the time readout on my entertainment console out of the corner of my eye. When it reached 7:07 p.m., I rolled over and sat up. "Lights," I said softly. This had become my favorite word over the past week. In my mind, it had become synonymous with freedom. The lights embedded in the shell of my HAB unit shut off, plunging the tiny compartment into darkness. If someone had been watching either of my live security vid feeds, they would have seen a brief flash as the cameras switched to night vision mode. Then I would have been clearly visible on their monitors once again. But, thanks to some sabotage I'd performed earlier in the week, the security cameras in my HAB unit and my ear gear were now no longer performing their assigned tasks. So, for the first time that day, I wasn't being watched. That meant it was time to rock. I tapped the Entertainment Center console's touchscreen. It lit up, presenting me with the same choices I'd had on my first night here. A handful of training films and simulations, including the complete run of Tommy Q episodes. If anyone checked the usage logs for my entertainment center, they would show that I had watched Tommy Q every night until I fell asleep, and that once I'd worked my way through all 16 episodes, I'd started over at the beginning. The logs would also show that I fell asleep at roughly the same time every night, but not at exactly the same time, and that I slept like the dead until the following morning when my alarm sounded. Of course, I hadn't really been watching their inane corporate shitcom every night. And I wasn't sleeping, either. I'd actually been operating on about 2 hours of sleep a night for the past week, and it was beginning to take its toll on me. But the moment the lights in my HAB unit went out, I felt energized and wide awake. My exhaustion seemed to vanish as I began to navigate through the entertainment center operation menus from memory, the fingers of my right hand dancing rapidly across the touchscreen. About 7 months earlier, I'd obtained a set of IOI intranet passwords from the Leet Hacksor's Warehouse, the same black market data auction site where I'd purchased the information needed to create a new identity. I kept an eye on all of the black market data sites because you never knew what might be up for sale on them. Oasis server exploits, ATM hacks, celebrity sex tapes, you name it. I'd been browsing through the Leet Hacksor's Warehouse auction listings when one in particular caught my eye. IOI intranet access passwords, backdoors, and system exploits. The seller claimed to be offering classified proprietary information on IOI's intranet architecture, along with a series of administrative access codes and system exploits that could give a user carte blanche inside the company network. I would have assumed the data was bogus had it not been listed on such a respected site. The anonymous seller claimed to be a former IOI contract programmer and one of the lead architects of its company intranet. He was probably a turncoat, a programmer who intentionally coded back doors and security holes into a system he designed so that he could later sell them on the black market. It allowed him to get paid for the same job twice and to salve any guilt he felt about working for a demonic multinational corporation like IOI. The obvious problem, which the seller didn't bother to point out in the auction listing, was that these codes were useless unless you already had access to the company intranet. IOI's intranet was a high-security, standalone network with no direct connections to the Oasis. The only way to get access to IOI's intranet was to become one of their legitimate employees, very difficult and time-consuming.